Hello and welcome back to another episode of Stanima, a Survivor Panama rewatch podcast brought to you by the Vidagers Network for the Survivor off-season. As always, I'm your host Christine Palin, and we are back this week with the penultimate episode of Survivor Panama, Call the Wambulance. Heads up to people listening, we're recording this out of order. As similarly to last time, one of my guests today has touring coming up, so we had to accommodate that. So it's fun that the two out of order episodes have been done due to rock band things. So if there's stuff in the last episode you're like, why didn't you bring it up this week? It's because it didn't happen yet. But I'm sure it's going to be really fun when we do it. So yes, this is called the Wambulance. The one title this season I don't think we'll be able to top, but we will try. So I am joined by two dear friends, participants in the Survivor COVID Survivor Discord I had going on. I will introduce them both, read both of their bios, and then I will unleash them upon you. So my guests today are Nassim and Alex Mercury. So first up, we have Nassim, who is a later-in-life Survivor fan, but a rabid one. After first watching Karamoan and falling in love with the show, wow, that's a crazy one to start with. I'm going to ask you about that. She was delighted to learn that nearly every other season of Survivor is better than Karamoan. Exactly. Panama has long been her favorite season and the one she has seen the most because she loves mess. Nassim is a lawyer, but please don't hold it against her. She recently started a food blog called Take My Ham on Instagram, which will not be featuring Survivor Pizza. And then secondly, we have Alex. Alex is a musician and semi-pro Danielle DiLorenzo impressionist. Oh, people, you are not ready for this one. He plays lead guitar in the band Pom Pom Squad and builds custom guitars under the brand Lucky Pig. Just by being Nassim's husband, Alex has absorbed decades of Survivor lore, both directly and indirectly, starting with Hoken Sheens and bouncing all throughout the show's history. Depending on what day you catch him, his favorite season is either China or Gabon. Please welcome Nassim and Alex.
Hi, here we are.
What up?
Dilly dilly.
It's Danielle DiLorenzo on the pod tonight.
Oh, amazing.
Nassim, you looked so delighted when I started talking.
We've been listening, and now we're in it.
It was very funny to see the hello and welcome to Survivor Legacy. It happened live.
It's so exciting to be here. Thank you for having us. This is also our cat's favorite podcast. She grabbed the phone.
I'm so honored.
Oh, yeah, there is a photo.
Yeah, she won't let it go.
I can tweet it out if y'all want with your episode.
Oh,
I think the people need to see it.
Pepper. Oh, yeah.
Pepper. So you both touched on it a bit in your bios, you know, later in life Survivor fans. But can you both talk a bit more about your history of Survivor? I mean, like, Nassim, I want to hear more about Karamoan.
Oh my god. So Karamoan was just airing at the time. And I was flipping channels and I was like, Survivor's still on, huh? You know, the horrible thing that we all hear when we say that we love Survivor. That show's still on. And I watched it and I was like, wow, this is fascinating. These great characters like Cochran and Corinne, people that I do not really like now. You know, they're on different levels of do not like. Corinne is like a monster, I think. But that might be too mean. It's fine. Anyways.
No.
But I fell in love with like the gameplay and the strategy and the mess. Oh, the mess. And I finished Karamoan and I was like, I should go watch the rest. I already have. It was like CBS All Access because I used it to watch Twin Peaks. So I went and I am not sure which one I watched directly after, but I basically started watching like a season a week and just powering through. Back when I was like a gym rat, I would watch Survivor every single day at the gym and pretend I was training for Survivor. And maybe I still am deep down. So I love Survivor. Yeah, I love Panama. It's my favorite season, but I think Token Sheens is kind of like a perfect beginner season. So that's what I started my husband on because it's enough strategy, but also enough characters and mess.
Yeah. And my experience was marrying my wife.
Yeah.
And basically knowing that, or you know, Nassim and I like to show each other stuff that we're into and kind of get each other into it. And yeah, you had mentioned being a big fan of Survivor and you showed me Token Sheens. And we watched it in pretty rapid succession. And yeah, it is very quickly, I think I think as you watch Survivor, you start out really invested in characters and then you start to appreciate the gameplay more.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened and mm-hmm. we were all really longing for interpersonal connection and structure. And Christine, you and I had become internet mutuals through the now semi-defunct Slater Kinney all-lesbian Facebook supergroup fan supergroup.
It's still there. It's still haunting us from, with all the posts are still there, yes, but it is, yeah. Since no one uses Facebook anymore.
In a way, completely unrelated. Basically, Sydney Gish drunkenly added me to the group. She was like, you like Slater Kinney? I was like, yeah, kind of. And she was like, you're coming to this group. And so then we became internet friends. And then you and Nassim became internet friends. And
you and I met at a show in Indy.
Yes, in
Champaign. That's the only time we've met.
In Indianapolis. That's right. Yes. And I was like, hey, I'm in the Slater Kinney group.
And didn't you play a riff from The Woods?
Yes. I think
in a song.
Yeah, I think I snuck a Slater Kinney riff in there because I was like, we got to go all out. But yeah, so we became internet mutuals, and then you and Nassim became internet mm-hmm. mutuals, and you guys had the shared bond of Survivor.
Yes.
And then Nassim looped me into the rewatch because you guys had already done.
I think we
Panama.
Did. We did Panama first.
Yeah. Mm. And then Alex joined, and what did we do second?
Gabon.
Gabon.
It was Gabon.
Yes.
Wow.
Alex loves Gabon.
I love Gabon. I didn't think that was my second season. I love mess. I love silly characters. So Gabon is like an incredible one. You know, we can get into Gabon for a million things. But yeah, basically that's my, and then I was just following the Discord and kind of watching along and then I watched 44.
45. Oh, yeah. 44.
44.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We love Carolyn.
This is a
of course.
We're a Tika household, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
you know, we just, it's our favorite. You know, sometimes they remind me of Kasaya in a way that, like, it's a lot going on, but they do love each other. They have a core of tenderness and love,
yes.
which is so nice. And I think that's the 2023 version of Kasaya. You know,
it's,
there's
it's
no
nice, like each other.
Yeah, no undercurrent of like hatred and rage. Much better. But the thing that I love about Gabon that I also love about Panama is like watching people who on paper should not be good at a social game and are not good socially with each other, crushing it strategically or, you know, doing the best they can. Right. But here
they're not crushing it, but yeah,
they're for Gabon, they're crushing it.
Yeah. The bar is lower.
Yeah. But this is just like, you know, I think I forget which episode it was, but you know, one of the recent pods people were talking about, like, Terry should be good at this socially. You know, it's weird that he's not. And it's so weird that the people who are good at this are good at this. And frankly, I think Gia said it last week, but this is out of order. Anyways, Gia said it
on her episode.
You know, Aris totally passes for normal in a tribe where everyone else is wacky, but he's not normal. He thinks he can make fire with his hands. You know, like he's so interesting and special. I think the Michael Bluth comparison is perfect because it's like Michael isn't normal either. So, you know, I love this tribe. I love this season. If we want to jump right into it, you know, Terry starts the episode by pissing me off by coming for Ceri, one of the greatest, probably the greatest in my heart ever to play. I don't care that she never won. She never won because, you know, fundamentally there's no justice in this world, right? Like that's the only reason. And I think it was Laurel who said, like, on her season, it was like a pregame for her season, it takes magic to get Ceri Fields out. And that is absolutely true. You know, so I love Ceri. I don't care for Terry Dietz. You know, they come into camp. He trips over a torch. Maybe he should pick his feet up a little higher, you know, because he's walking on a beach. It's full of.
They didn't teach you that at the Naval Academy where no one lies, cheats, and steals?
They only thought about cheat and lie and not to win allies and not to share your idol with anyone. That's all he learned at the friggin' Naval Academy. But yeah, you know, you're walking on a beach. It's uneven, rugged terrain, probably full of driftwood and maybe seaweed, you know, rocks and things. I would pick my feet up a little higher. I wouldn't just assume that, you know, the world is going to lay out a flat, easy path for Terry Dietz, because of course it does. You know, not everywhere,
Terry.
I was
going to say, that's not everywhere. How he operates.
He's privileged in a man. He's Captain America. He walks around with like American flags shooting out of his eyes. I'll say eyes.
You can curse on him.
I don't know why everyone thinks this is like a G-rated podcast. I'm like, no, it's okay.
I just have my mom in my ear being like, the internet is forever. Like, don't say he has
it's fair
out of his cock, but I said it. So
I thought you were gonna say ass. You got so much.
Oh, you went even further than I thought.
So yeah, just like just Terry walking through the world, like inconvenienced by things that everyone else deals with on a regular basis. And I think Terry is so obnoxious because he's frustrated that, like, you know, he's winning challenges, but he's not winning socially. He can't win anyone over because, as we saw, his strategy for winning people over and making allies is just walking up to them and saying, you could go home at 6 instead of 7.
Yeah, I'll give you the honor coming in 5th place.
Yeah. And Emmy, we'll talk about the idol, I think, toward the end of
what happened,
but just what a waste. What a waste of, you know, he's just ridiculous. So, you know, speaking of ridiculous, we get to camp. It's dark. He's not looking where he's going. Maybe you can't look in the dark, but you can intuit. You can pick your feet up. You can be careful. Instead, he talks to Suri like a child. He compares her to his children.
This is nuts.
He's so insanely disrespectful.
Oh, he implies that she hits her kids.
I find that to be racist, personally.
You
know, maybe we're a little bitch-eating crackers with Terry, as they say.
So,
you know, like
the concept of, because this is, I think, both we and everyone in Tribe, there is like a Twitter or Tumblr post that went around a long time ago, just like, when you hate someone enough, just everything they do bothers you. And it's like, and it's just like, they could just be sitting there eating crackers and you just go, look at this bitch eating crackers. And bitch eating crackers has very much entered the lexicon of just like, can do no right. Just like, you're too far gone. There's no way that anything you do is going to be remotely positive for me. And we're definitely that way with Terry, where whatever breath he takes. But also, it seems like he's that way with everyone in the tribe, and everyone in the tribe is kind of this episode. I feel like the edit leans into Terry being a villain.
Definitely, yeah. Which is interesting. I understand that at the time he was super beloved and stuff, and right, like America was all about Terry, Captain America. You know, he's a troop. He's got a square jaw.
Yeah.
His head is like a lantern.
He like the astronaut, the actual man who's been in space. You know,
don't get me
mono
started.
Mono, they
don't
share.
Get me started.
They've shared so much. He flies a plane.
He
for
flies
example.
A plane.
He's
like
been in a plane.
The fact that he said we've both seen Earth from above, when the majority of Americans have seen Earth from above, the exact
I've seen Earth from above, Terry.
I've seen Earth from. I just 2 weeks ago I saw Earth from above the same way Terry did. Congratulations, I'm King Terry.
I was on a Spirit Airlines flight to see my grandma in Fort Lauderdale, and I saw the Earth from the heavens, and I feel like Dan Powell.
If Dan Barry. If Dan Barry were not as nice as he is, he should have dragged him for that. Like, okay, just hold you as an astronaut.
Yeah,
I've been in outer space.
You being a pilot and me being an astronaut are kind of
not a secret. That's not a secret. No one cares.
On that note, too, Terry literally, and I had to write this down, he says, I've been the underdog the whole time.
So interesting that he calls
which
himself
Which no
that.
One, neither on Lamina or Kasaya or any of the old or young permutations of the tribe.
Or anywhere in life has Terry ever been an underdog. Like,
and it's entirely because
he's never,
people are starting to be rude to him.
Yes. Because he's bad bad at the social game. That's it. That's the only reason.
It's like, I've been the underdog the whole time. People did not just bend over and die for me.
Yeah, like people didn't give you the game.
Previously.
You've had the super idol the whole time. You could have used it at any point to prevent anyone from going home.
Yep. And honestly, I really think that not using it for Sally, he completely, like, I it's a total flub. And now, you know, at the end of this episode, the idol goes out unplayed. You know, we end on this dramatic cliffhanger, but we know Terry's not going home. He didn't even need to use the idol because he just kept winning shit. Like, you are not the underdog. You are not the underdog, my guy. You've never been the underdog.
It's we also do learn in this episode, on that note, that Terry is an incredibly sore loser.
Oh,
yes.
Like, that is, like, I absolutely, mean, like, a Terry, perfect setup.
Terry's a sore winner. Listen. Yeah. Yes. Like, every time jacking
the
off.
The cartwheel.
The little somersault. Yeah, you know, it's been said damn near every
time. I don't know why I said cartwheel. That's the opposite of the somersault.
So, but it's, you know, he did a stupid little move. That's the point. Mm-hmm. A stupid little move. He literally multiple times goes, yes, like an evil little, like a character.
6 year old.
Yeah, like a Fortnite or something. And then just on top of all of that, to not even have a good attitude about the fact that he keeps winning challenges, and to be so nasty to Suri. Suri, universally beloved, lovely, happy to know you.
Like, and also, she hasn't been mean to him. She's like one of the only
who hasn't been mean to him.
Who hasn't been like, fuck off, Terry. I mean, like, he made like a pretty dumb pitch to her and Shane way back, but I think it was more Shane who was like, no. Like,
the dictionary. So we've pitched.
Yeah, like, ever Suri keeps it in confessional. Like, yeah. She does not like him, but she has kept it in confessional. And it's just like, I get, you know, the elements, you're tired, people snap at each other, but he just goes on and on. And he's like, I expect more out of you.
He doesn't want to go.
And then he's like, oh, what does he say after that? Oh, he's like, oh, Suri, don't get all upset. Like,
don't get all upset.
You're the one throwing a fit.
The nerve. It's like he absorbed the spirit of Shane, right? It's the Shane, it's the Shane 1-2 yeah. punch. Like, as soon as Shane hits the jury,
the
all
smoke.
His nastiness just goes down Terry's throat like the Evil Dead tree. And it's like, on the one hand, he's picking fights for no damn reason. On the other hand, he's like, why are you so sensitive? Why are you so upset? Yeah. Like, that's exactly what Shane did to Courtney. And it drives me nuts that Terry, like, they can't have a moment of peace. They got rid of Shane. Great character. But my God, I would never want to live with Shane Powers.
Yeah, especially quitting, on an island, quitting nicotine cold turkey.
And by the way, we got slightly better Shane because he had a couple cigarettes at that one reward. So, like, that back half.
Yeah.
Was better Shane. And Terry just brings that energy right back to the beach from Tribal.
Shane snuffed out the fire and, like, the smoke from it just got into Terry.
Like the smoke monster, like, what is it, Terry?
There we go.
No, and then I love, because, like, Aris and Danielle, like, let this play out for a little bit. They just kind of sit there. And then once it's starting to die down a bit, Aris is like, fuck you, Terry. Like, don't talk to Suri like that. You're harshing our vibe. But, like, they really, like, let it play out for a while.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, let's keep this going.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I was tired, but I didn't get my punch in. Let me get my punch in. You know, I feel like poking this a little more. Which is very Courtney of him, honestly, in the Shane-Courtney dynamic.
No, yeah. Courtney, because we talked about with G and Chappelle, like, that Aris wishes he was Courtney. Like, he wants people to be thinking he's weird. And when Courtney went, he got the Courtney smoke monster.
Yeah, there we go.
And then Terry got the Shane smoke monster. God. And that's why, like, they start fighting so badly. I just want to note, this episode has two instances of people saying, I didn't come here to make friends. I don't know if you caught that. Terry said, I didn't come here to make friends with 24-year-olds.
Yeah.
Which is funny. And then Danielle says it later about making fire, I think. Yeah, I didn't write that down, but Danielle also says it, I think.
Yeah.
So, get to that.
They're not here to make friends, you know?
Well, what year is 2006?
Yeah.
So, it's still, like, this is, like, kind of, like, the peak of, like, that flavor of reality TV. Like, this is,
definitely.
Like, it maybe wasn't as cliche of a line. It's like, nah, this is the line you hit.
Yeah. I think in Top Model, it was set around 2007 or 2000. I'm thinking of Jade in season 6 going, this is not America's Next Top Best Friend, pointing at the sign in the house.
This is not Panama's Next Top Best Friend.
Next Top Best Friend. So, yeah, I wrote down some quotes from Terry during this fight. Like, one of the back and forths that really bothered me. He's like, you're just like one of my kids. And she said, I'm not one of your kids. And he said, you're not, and that's why I expected a little more, which is one of the most things you can say to someone. Just awful. And like, she says her sorry King Terry thing, which is so funny, like, perfect delivery. She's never done anything wrong except for the NFT thing, and, you know, I don't know.
I forgot about that.
She didn't know. No one
she
knew.
She bought into it. It's okay. No Sorry. One knew. I can fix her. I don't think she's done anything like that since.
No. She let it go really fast, so it's fine. But yeah, then he's like telling her not to get upset, and we went over how that's very Shane-like of him, and it's just terrible. I don't know. Do we want to say anything else about Torchgate and this freaking little baby?
It's just shocking how long it goes on for. Because mm-hmm. it really is one of those things where both parties could just say, like, hey, did someone drop this? Oh, yeah, that was me. Oh, like, I tripped on it. Could you pick it up? Mm-hmm. You know,
or something. I tripped on your torch back there. I know. I don't care. I know.
Like, there's so many ways that you could have done this.
I want to give Suri credit for, like, not letting it go. Like, also, like, because you could have just been like, whatever, man, I'm sorry. Like, and, like, I would have respected that decision if she was like, yeah, I'm tired. But I also really respect the decision to be like, no, fuck you. Like, because I'm not sorry.
She's the only one who's been nice to him. And for him to come for her like this.
Yeah, it's just, that it's consistent just, and that just like, it's like, yeah, just like not easing up.
A power trip that late at night is insane. Like, go to sleep.
Yeah.
Go to sleep and dream about dominating everyone.
Dream about space.
Yeah. Dream about space where you've been, Terry.
Yeah. The sky.
King Terry.
Me and
King of the skies. King of the sea because he's Navy.
Oh, God.
Navy.
Yeah. But not king of this challenge.
Not king of this island.
Not king of this.
Or either of these challenges.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, double Aris. Good for him.
Good for him. Yeah, so this, we usually don't talk a ton about reward challenges on the pod because people end up, you know, it's just not as interesting. Oh, but this is one we like, this is the episode.
This is the heart of this episode. I love this challenge. I'm going to talk about Terry a little more because
I mean, you have to.
To me, like, there are a couple things that are really big about this season. First of all, like, there are so many huge characters. Shane, Courtney, Danielle. Danielle is a big deal to me. She's a big deal to our household. I'm from Massachusetts. I feel like I grew up with, like, a million Danielles.
She's everywhere.
Everywhere. But it's like, she's not – we live in New York now and you know, quote-unquote New York. And she's not here. And it's like, you know, in Massachusetts, there are these like Greek-owned pizza shops and it's kind of like thick pizza and it's chewy. And it's like, it's not like a New York slice. It's not the best pizza, but they only have it there. And we can't find it here. And I miss it. And that's how I feel about the Danielle personality. Like, she's like every girl I had like a weird, tense crush on in lacrosse. Like she's a little bit mean to me. And
I remember you talking about this in the Discord.
Exactly. Like, it's Danielle represents something. So, you know, there are a lot of things I love. I love Suri, obviously. But the main thing that, you know, I really enjoy unpacking and analyzing and thinking about with this season is the dynamic between Terry and Aris, because I see this as like an intergenerational clash of two very different alpha men. Like Aris is, you know, the alpha for Kasaya. He's the only alpha male that Kasaya could tolerate. You know, it's so strange because he's a weirdo, right? But he's the straightest guy they have in terms of like, you know, he's a white cis het male, as far as we know, you know, and he's successful kind of effortlessly at running things. And then here comes Terry, who's like, you know, what we think of as they call him Captain America, you know, a more classic, you know, alpha male, typical. And I think he sees Aris's dominance as a direct threat. And I think he's very like, you know, kids these days, like, look who they are being led by.
He's a yoga teacher.
Yeah, this yoga instructor, this woo-woo hippie. He's, like, fringy and eccentric.
To quote Shane, he could levitate home.
He could levitate home. And even just looking at, like, the two tribes, you know, like, Lamina, it's G.I. Joe, it's Sally, it's a freaking astronaut. And then there's the two generic men.
Financial
Ruth Marie,
sales.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to leave Ruth Marie out, but yes,
the
it's
Ruth
fine.
Marie erasure. She's a country singer.
How could I? The season of
Wait,
Ruth
Marie.
Marie
was a country singer? I thought that was, what's her name? Beverly?
Melinda.
Oh, Ruth Marie, sorry. I'm confusing my women. I'm the one.
Ruth Marie erasure.
Oh my God.
Ruth Marie erasure. I forgot.
Melinda from Pigeon Forge. Oh my God.
Ruth Marie, I know you listen. I'm sorry.
Oh, Ruth Marie is going to call. Oh,
she's going to write hate letters. She and Sally are going to get their hate mail together. And
what is her job?
I always remember the jobs. Like, I actually do remember who Nick is purely because his job title is financial sales.
Till sales.
Yeah, financial sales. You know, what does that mean? All sales are inherently financial.
Real estate.
Real estate.
Her occupation is real estate. Not real estate agent, just real estate.
Whatever that means. Yeah.
Maybe she builds houses. Maybe she creates the real estate.
I don't think she does.
She probably builds houses.
She builds houses.
She's not a smasher. So she can't.
She's not a smasher. She's certainly not a builder.
Not a builder. She's not a smasher.
I love the trivia.
Ruth Marie was crowned participated in Miss Teen America in the mid-70s.
Oh.
This is huge.
So to further my point, we have G.I. Joe.
Wait.
We have Sally.
Wait, sorry, Ruth Marie. Sorry. We need to pause. Ruth Marie was a cop.
No!
She lived quite a life. After graduating college, she was hired by Eastern Airlines as a flight attendant. In 1981, she was the first female narcotics agent with the South Carolina Law Enforcement Agency and attended the South Carolina Police Academy.
Ruth Marie from the show that we saw?
Yes!
Are we sure?
I am reading her official CBS bio.
She was giving very little, I must say. I look everyone up, and I never thought to look her up. I think I looked up Nick just to see, like, what's going on.
What is a financial sale?
Yeah, what's going on with this guy?
She's been running competitively since 1992. She competed in the Marathon des Sables, which is considered the toughest foot race on the planet. It's a 7-day, 152-mile stage race. She placed 59 out of 100, and placed 100th overall out of 677 runners.
Ruth Marie.
She was featured in an Emmy-nominated ESPN special about the race.
I'm so sorry, Ruth Marie. You're a very special person.
Where was any of this during Survivor Panama?
Well, now we know why she was cast now. She has a very interesting life. And then that just none of that ever came up.
Survivor is apparently the least interesting stretch of her life. So
that's incredible.
That's so strange.
I'm so sorry to derail. I just wanted to know what her job is.
That just goes to my point that Lamina is like all-American, apple pie, cop.
Cops.
Cop, Miss Teen USA, flight attendant, runner lady, and the two men, and the Terry, and the Dan, and the ladies. And then Kasaya is like fringy and eccentric.
You got Courtney and Aris.
You got Courtney and Aris and Shane. Like, yeah. You know, it's just the perfect storm of weirdos. And, you know, like Terry walked into the merge and thought it was just going to be like Lamina, like people literally laying down and dying so Terry could win his freaking season. And like, it would be an honor to be eliminated so you could go on, Terry.
That is how on earth is that how anyone plays Survivor?
Yeah. Like, did they all get some kind of sun poisoning where, like, they forgot what they were there to do?
Like, them literally being like, I'll give up my spot so that you can win is like rule zero of Survivor.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It's called Survivor.
Yeah. And you know what? If someone quits, Jeff gets so mad. But mm-hmm. if someone essentially, like, constructively quits so that Terry can go forward, he should get just as mad. I fully believe this. But, you know, he walks into the merge like he's in charge. Everyone laughs in his face. Suri gives that great confessional about the dictionary salesman. It's I think I texted you this, you know, when I was having my thoughts about the merge. It's like when Barbie enters the real world and suddenly yes. she's just not in charge anymore. I guess spoiler for the Barbie movie, but, you know, it's fun. You know, it's got Hari Neff and Kate McKinnon, you know, people we love. But yeah, I think that is why he's so, like, you know, peeved by Aris and Kasaya. And I think he and Aris just, like, push each other's buttons in this really specific way. Like, they're, like, star-crossed enemies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, the kids these days versus the man. And they're both alphas and in charge in their own way, you know? Like, Aris is still on top of his own little world, but they're clashing. I mean, to the point where they're wearing like reverse versions of each other's shirts at this challenge. Like, they have the same shirt, but Aris has white sleeves and a red center, and Terry has black sleeves and a red center, and it's like white hats and black hats, and in cowboy lore, it's like a whole thing. And I think, as I understand, hackers are also refer to themselves as white hats for good and black hats for bad. So they're just like hackers
and cowboys.
They're star-crossed nemeses. And let's get into the Wambulance, man. First of all, just a little, two little notes I had. I love the lizards. I love how they look at the camera. They go, hey.
I didn't remark upon the lizards.
Oh, they're so cute. They got their mouths open. They're looking up like, hi, like at the camera. And Danielle also has a great little moment at the start of this challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when Jeff says yacht, Danielle goes,
like, she gasps at the concept of a yacht. Like, at this point, she's more excited about the idea that she could be on a yacht than she would be, like, food or holding
or, like, $1 million.
Wait, a boat with nice stuff on it? Like,
sorry to say, like, she fully had a bigger reaction to the yacht than she did to her mother. Her mother, she was like, don't cry. She's so cute. And the yacht, she was, like, breathless.
Yeah, breathless for the yacht.
It's like a boat, but nice.
I mean, her mom's waiting for her back at home, but a yacht isn't.
Yacht is not.
That's true. She probably won't be able to get on it. Or maybe she misses yachts.
But Pugsy is waiting for her at home. His little shirt. It's a nice dog. She's got a nice little life at home.
Speaking of this reward, just the concept of the reward, I wanted to kind of throw this question out. Has anybody bathed or showered yet? Because usually, like, by this point, the rewards are like, go to a resort and you can take a shower, you can go to a spa, and, like, you know, there's like all that stuff. And it seems like the prospect of showering would have been Casa de Charmin, which didn't pan out at all.
They got a bush.
That was
shower.
Just a toilet.
Like, oh, it was just a toilet.
I thought they had
like the out. They had more, but we only really saw the toilet, if there was.
Yeah, and also, like, it was early on enough that they were like, let's not use it for that, let's use it to store stuff. Like, let's ignore that it's a reward and just use it as a place to store stuff. Yeah. But I don't think anyone's, like, you think even when they got, like, the evening together at the resort, like, I think they didn't shower.
You know why I think they didn't shower? Because they always have a creepy shot of them showering, being like, oh, it feels so good, and, like, Stephen Fishbach looking at himself in the mirror.
They got massages at the resort. They must have showered.
Maybe they got cleaned.
If they got the oil and stuff, I don't think they'd make them like go back to camp in the oil. So I think they did shower.
Okay. I hope so. But yeah, so this is the climax of the conflict between these two men, and I love this. First of all, Terry, like, fouls Aris so fucking hard. He, like, shoves him insanely hard, like, in a way that would get you, like, a yellow card at least.
This isn't the attack zone or, like, whatever Jeff says in Thailand.
No, God. Oh, they would kill each other in that challenge. My God. And, you know, he still, like, whines about it. He's like, you pushed me first. You know what? If Aris had pushed him that hard, we would have seen it.
Yeah.
Like, Aris might have jostled him, but he shoved him. He, like, placed his flat hand on Aris's tiny little chest and just, whoop. Like, it's nasty. They're so nasty with each other off the bat. The interesting element of this challenge, one of them is, like, the way that they can block each other from moving down the course, you know, with the way that they're clipping the carabiners on and off. And they're working with each other to try to box out Terry. And the other interesting thing is that even though, you know, just behind the scenes, everyone gets to watch a full run through of the challenge, and Terry, for some reason, didn't absorb that rule. Maybe he's getting lazy thinking he can just win everything. But you know what, Terry? There are other people here too, like Aris.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he didn't understand that you could go back and look again. Oh,
well, you didn't tell us that. Like,
everyone else knew, Terry. So clearly it's a you problem. And then we get the line of the season. In my opinion, the line of the season, other than shitty little apartment, okay? Somebody call a ambulance. Terry's crying on the course. And he goes full Shaggy from Scooby.
Shaggy,
away.
Yes.
Shaggy from Scooby. It's so good. He does the voice again when he repeats it to Suri on the yacht.
Yeah. And he's like a little drunk and he's feeling it a little more. And he like puts a little more
he's
stank
like, oh,
on
yeah, it. I told him off.
And Terry, as per usual, has the worst comeback to that very good little burn. He says, well, I had to take over your role. I'm sorry nice to one, say, buddy. I don't mean to sound particularly mean tonight, but Terry brings something out of me, much like Aris. You know, he has the comeback of, like, a homeschool kid, a little bit. Like, it's
God
just...
damn.
I'm so sorry. You know, like, it's the kind of comeback you would come up with when everyone leaves the room and then you're like, that's not that good. Glad I didn't say it. But he said it. And he's just, he keeps whining. And then later Aris is like, well, are you just going to complain every time you win? Because you seem to just like blame everyone else. And again, with another terrible comeback, Terry goes right back at ya. Are you 12?
I know you are, but what am I?
And the whole setup to this thing is like Terry later, he's like, I just wanted clarification. But he was trying to tattle on Aris. Like he was like, yes. It wasn't like confusion about what he was doing. And he was Jess. He tries
to backtrack.
Yeah. And then he completely.
Jess, Aris is still out there. Like, why hasn't he come back? And then he's like, I just wanted a clarification. He's like, no, you're trying to get Aris in trouble.
He's like, I was trying to figure out what I had done wrong or something. Like he tries to make it. He's like, oh, I was.
Because Terry can't come across as less than noble, you know, like he needs to come across as like, oh, no, I'm just trying to figure out what my mistake was because I'm good.
Yeah.
Because I'm Terry.
Because I'm working.
Yeah.
Hard.
Didn't you know I'm good? I'm good.
I went to the Naval Academy where no one lies, cheats, and steals.
Where we're good. Yeah, we learn how to be good.
Good little boys.
I think at the time when Terry's like trying to tattle on Aris, I think Danielle is out there too, like the same amount of time. I think Aris and Danielle leave at the same amount of same time. I could be wrong, but he only tattles on Aris. It's just it's just clear like he just wants to tattle on Aris to Daddy Jeff.
Yep. Daddy Jeff takes no position on this.
Like, he's completely silent.
He has no reaction to the entire fight.
Yeah, he just kind of like stares into the middle distance, lets out a single breath, and is like, all right, Aris, come up here. like while this huge fight happens.
He's like, the yacht is leaving at a certain time.
Yeah.
I just need this to happen because it's so hard to move the canal.
if this had happened today, Jeff would have been like, wow. And then go to like an uninvolved person, been like, what do you think of that? like turn to the camera, talk to the kids at home.
It's like he got Christmas caroled, right? When you think about his reactions then to now, like he's so stoic and now he's like very excited.
I was
amped
shocked
up
at 44.
Animated. Yeah, because Alex hadn't been watching the new season.
Yeah, like I guess the most.
Yeah,
the
that's
most
quite a shock.
Thing. Yeah, and I was like, well, Carolyn's on this, so we have to watch. So we're going to watch. And you're going to like it.
No, I was really behind. So it was like, also, especially again, coming from my favorite season, Gabon, where Jeff actively wants to leave the whole time. If you're just Jeff truly is done with the game, done with these people, getting caught up in their lives. Like to see how Jeff has progressed to like almost goofy or like just really like fun.
He's very
he's goofy.
Super
he's
animated.
Goofy.
Yeah.
Like, he seems to be having a lot more fun.
Yeah, but he's got no reaction to this fight. You know, we differ there. We had a big reaction. You know, Alex had a very big, like, I like to take pictures of Alex's reactions to the big Survivor moments, like the Johnny Fair play, etc. And it's so much fun to watch you watch this for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, things that are just ingrained in my sick, sick brain. I found it so interesting that Aris apologized not only to Danielle for not taking her on the reward, but also to Terry. He's like, I'm picking Suri. Sorry, Danielle. Sorry, Terry. Which is so interesting because would Terry ever have expected to be the one picked? That would be insane. They hate each other.
Yeah, but he expects just everything to, he doesn't understand not winning.
This is true. This is true.
I think it was like, Terry, I'm going to break this.
Sorry,
concept.
Bud.
Yeah.
You're going to have to not win for a second.
Could you imagine if Terry and Aris had gone on the Panama Canal yacht together?
I can imagine it. I think it would be so interesting. They have such an interesting dynamic, just like sword sharpening sword, you know, like what does Coach say? Iron and iron clashing.
Oh gosh,
I don't know. Coach says something crazy.
Coach says a lot of things.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Loyalty.
His name Benjamin?
Also, Aris appears to be drinking a glass of milk on the yacht.
Hold on. Before we're getting ahead of ourselves. We haven't drawn attention to the second funniest line in the episode before the reward is, what are you going to do? Say something bad about women.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah, sorry. I have a lot of thoughts about that when later they have their little apology moment.
Okay. We'll circle back to it. I just want to make sure we did not skip over it because that is insane to me that he says that.
It is insane that he reaches for that. Based on the conversation they have later, I'm really curious, genuinely, whether there were moments where he was disparaging about women, where he was being kind of a bigot and a jerk, or if Aris just gets that vibe from him, from like the way he's disrespectful to Ciri, for example. I consider it really offensive that he assumes that Ciri hits her children. I think that's, you know, it felt really weird and out of pocket. Ciri is like the nicest person ever to be on this show. I don't know. I really do wonder. And obviously none of them are going to like say anything about this in post-show interviews, but I wonder if Terry really was out there like besmirching women, or if Aris just got a bad vibe from
him. Listen, dog, I can kind of probably call... Most likely you got something going on. I'm just going to kind of preempt that, throw that one out there, see if it lands, and see how you react on it. How you react to it will probably...
You know, I did find it really interesting that was the thing that affected Terry the most. Yeah, you know, so that I'll say one positive thing about Terry, I guess. It's kind of nice, I guess, that he cared about that.
Yeah.
That he minds being seen as a misogynist. The bar is on the floor for some folks, you know.
As we saw last episode, he loves his wife. He really loves his wife.
He loves her so much. They share a Facebook page when she came on, because we've been listening in the podcast. Alex was like, oh, they share a Facebook page. That's her.
Oh, that's right.
We learned that.
That's Terry's wife from the Facebook page.
See, yeah, Terry's wife from Facebook. He loves her. He loves flight attendants. He's respectful of them, you know.
That's okay. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But when he says, I don't treat flight attendants like that. I know he's saying that because he's a pilot. But yeah. If he, like, out of context, that makes him sound like more like a misogynist. Like,
yes.
I respect like women.
Jobs.
I like flight attendants. I know he means it because it's who he works with. Those are his colleagues. He considers him his colleague. But that
makes me all broad with respect. Secretaries.
I don't even grope the stewardesses.
It's like, I know that's not what he meant, but it made me laugh so hard because it, like, it sounds crazy, but it, like, I know that
he
was him being
remember
like,
that he's seen Earth.
I'm
above.
A pilot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those flight attendants, Terry, guess what? They've also seen Earth from above. You're not that special.
Earth from above too. They've basically been to outer space.
A baby whose ears keep popping has also seen Earth from above.
That's so true. But yeah, I mean, we can unpack their little apology moment, all their feelings. But I need to point out that Aris is drinking milk on the yacht. I need to point it out. I've been thinking about it all day. God, I hope it's a pina colada, because otherwise that guy is going to shit
just
himself
drinking
later.
Drinking milk. Well, I mean, I don't know if the pina colada would be much better for the sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar, sure. But like milk, dairy, I think dairy, caffeine, those are your enemies out there. You know, you could not force me to drink coffee on Survivor at gunpoint.
They have a coffee reward station.
Yeah, no thanks. I might as well just drink like unclean water and get it over with. Yeah. Like, listen, I'm not doing that to myself.
Maybe if Bruce had drank some coffee, he'd still be here.
I do love the theory that like he did it to himself with the t-shirt filter. I think that's so interesting. But, you know, it's I don't think Aris like ends up shitting himself or getting taken out for not being able to shit. So I don't think it was milk, but it looks like milk. It looks exactly like milk, it's like a little rocks milk. Glass full of milk.
Or but, maybe it's like horchata.
Yeah, so it can't be milk.
It can't be milk. It shouldn't be milk. Even when they get PB&J in milk, I'm like, don't do that. You know, it's like watching the final girl run upstairs, you know, like run out the door. Don't drink the milk. They're also playing like music on the yacht that I don't think they've ever played before. The like
yes,
Buddha bar
I wrote down the yacht music. It's so weird for this era because they used to do like weird kind of like techno
little, like,
music in the early seasons.
Yeah.
But it not like this.
It feels like music that was on other shows at the time. It feels very 2006. Mm-hmm. It feels like I made the mistake of trying to watch Nip Tuck recently. It feels like the music that plays in the surgery scenes in Nip Tuck. I don't recommend the show to anyone and no one should watch it. But it feels like that. It feels like Buddha Bar. It feels like
trip hop kind
of
vibes.
You know,
Portishead.
Like if Portishead, you know, if something terrible happened to Portishead. Yeah, but you know, it's like they had this nice time on the yacht. It was so cool to see how the canal works. I did not know that before my first time watching Panama. I hate to say, very ignorant. I you know, went to a weird hippie school, much like ours. I don't know a lot of things.
You know,
I thought it was so funny to hear Aris explain the how the Panama Canal works. Like, they clearly were like, all right, like, put him in front of the camera, and they're like, okay, we need you to explain to the audience, like, how the Panama Canal works. And it's like, this is not the guy I want explaining the Panama Canal to me.
No, it's amazing that he absorbed all that. Maybe they had, like, cue cards for him. They're like, we need to explain it to the audience, but we can't do it because it's not how this show works. We don't have Jeff, like, narrating to the camera on the beach yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, being like, oh, and like, you could be in this adventure too.
The other part of it though is, I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, that their reward is like, you get to see a bunch of man-made commercial like exports and ships, like, and I get, but I guess on one end it's like, that's not that exciting, but I was like, you know what, if I've been on a desert island, damn, I want to see some industry.
Oh,
and
anything
some
would
commerce
be exciting.
like I want to see products getting shipped. I want to see freight. I miss freight.
Anything would be exciting at this point. Like, honestly, I mean, poor Suri has like such Stockholm syndrome. They get back to camp. She's like, oh, it looks beautiful from here. Like the terrible beach, you know, littered with torches everywhere and in everyone's way, such a hazard. And she's like, oh, it's so beautiful. Yeah, you know, like, it's interesting. That's all they need.
Yeah, but to that point, that also emphasizes what they've already started kind of discussing, which is, like, you know, Suri spends so much of the show being, oh, I'm indoorsy, I don't know, I'm afraid of leaves, I don't, you know, I don't want to do anything at camp. And then, like, the past two episodes, like this one and the one before it, really hammer home, like, no, she's really come into her own. She's really... You know, when HB comes to visit and like is blown away by how hard she has to work and
she's changed.
Yeah, like
made fire
and she caught a fish.
Yeah,
that's right. She catches the fish.
She catches the fish. She scales.
Terry didn't catch a fish.
Terry didn't. Yeah, Captain America has been swimming around for 85 years and
And who does the girl from Jersey?
The girl from Jersey. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're Jersey people, so we love Suri. Yeah. We're Hudson County Jersey people.
Yeah, we're
so,
one town over. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we love Suri. And yeah, like Aris kind of like watching her and wistfully like narrating this moment for her. Like it was just sweet. It was very nice.
While he's farting.
That was a little
while he's farting.
Yeah.
Which also I was like, that's dangerous if you got like a flint and you're trying to make fire while this guy keeps farting downwind from you. That could be a real
arguably could help you make a big fire.
Yeah, I was gonna say she should have, if she had a little more trouble, she might have enlisted him, be like, hey, just like position yourself.
So should we do, I'm sorry, we're going like so over time. I'm so sorry.
Oh no, girl, we did 2 hours with Mike Bloom talking about poop.
That was like, medical emergency. That's such a good episode.
This is way ambulance though. No, we can talk as long as we want. But let's get into the immunity challenge because that is where we have arrived.
I love a digging.
Oh wait, challenge. No, we do. Yes, because they don't have the confrontation about the Terry and Aris don't talk about the women's.
No, I think that's after. Yeah.
Challenge. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they have to dig every time they dig
woman.
I hear Jillian from Gabon. That's my go-to. Going dig, Fong, dig. Like in here. That's what
that
I
was
hear.
That is not the impression I expected to get pulled out in this episode.
Oh, there's going to be some. Because the other thing I have written down about this challenge is the way that Danielle says, Skiacrow. Skiacrow.
All right, I'm going to need Alex to repeat that.
Oh. All right. Everyone's been waiting. We've been teasing it this entire episode. My perfect impression of Danielle DiLorenzo from Survivor Panama.
Oh, no.
All right, here we go.
Close to the mic.
Hey, Aris. You're right there in the room with her.
I feel can you see Scarecrow? Is that all you can do?
That's my that's, hey, Aris. Very freaking sweet.
Ow,
Terry.
Ow,
Terry.
Ow.
And then I don't know, Shane Quagmire. I don't know.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Giddy giddy. Or no, or he could be like, or you know, he'd be like, I better. I bet Bitter Jersey, is this the record for most Family Guy impressions?
Yes, I can say with confidence this is the record.
Oh,
and I don't think it will get beaten anytime soon.
Well, you never
till,
know.
Yeah, wait till you get to wait till you get to what I don't know what.
She comes back for Heroes versus Villains, babe, which you haven't seen yet. Okay. So
now I want to work on my Brian. Oh no, well, Ace is Stewie. For Ace from Gabon is Stewie.
Oh no, no.
Old and British. And, yeah, this all right. This is airtight. I fail to see the issue with this.
So Danielle looks at the voodoo doll icon, which this has also been said almost every week, but my God, they did a Haitian voodoo theme for a season in Panama.
Panama. Those are two different countries.
Very bad look.
I want to see how close together they are in the world. I don't think they are.
So they Danielle didn't even get colonized by the same people.
Danielle is actually being an ally by calling the voodoo doll a scarecrow. She's reframing it to be less offensive. Thank you, woke queen Danielle DeLorenzo. I'm sure
the scarecrow item.
It's like everyone on this season, nothing to see in those Twitter likes.
All right. Yeah. Oh no. Have we seen her Twitter likes?
I think her Instagram is just like real estate and lifestyle stuff. She's just like Ruth Marie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I do follow her, and she does like on her Instagram, she's doing lots of yoga.
Yeah.
And just like real estate.
Oh yeah. Guys, Panama's really far from Haiti.
Oh my God.
I just Googled. I was like, is it like, does it share? Is it like Hispaniola where it's like they
not
share?
Not even close.
No, it's no. Panama's quite far from Haiti.
Oh, goodness, Jeff. Oh. Well, no, I learned from Jeff's podcast that the art department does these decisions, so I hope they've reconsidered some things since 2006. I hope we've all grown since 2006. Yeah. You know, I've certainly grown. You know, I grew about 3 inches since 2006. Now I'm fully formed, so... You know,
you've both seen the video of Danielle and Coach making out, right?
Yes.
I think
it was in the Discord, but you weren't in it.
It almost certainly was.
Yeah. Oh, it's like a horrifying thing to see. It's necessary, I guess.
It's vital.
I would say it's vital. It was from a movie, right?
Yeah, called 180.
180. Okay.
180. I'll find it later.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll find it later, but the people need to know that that's a thing that exists.
I love this challenge, this like find your coordinates and dig, because it's not just do the puzzle and dig. Like those are hard enough. The hardest part, I think, is the thing that tripped up our Massachusetts queen, Danielle, is getting the rope straight when you're this fucking tired.
Yeah.
Where's the scarecrow?
Yeah, it's not working. The scarecrow, you know, and the cowardly lion. And all the icons. Everything.
And all the items.
Items. All the immunity items.
All the immunity items.
Listen, if I'm digging that much and it's that hot out and it's day, like, 30, whatever, like, I cannot be bothered to make sure that my ropes are straight. And that would absolutely mess me up. It's a very relatable error that she makes.
Jeff is so... Okay, we talked about this in a previous episode. Jeff hates Danielle for no reason. He like that one tribal, he's like it really bothers you Terry keeps winning, huh? And then he yells at Danielle to stop. He said, don't be sloppy with the robes. It's like, mind your own damn business, Jeff.
It's just his tough love, because she knows he knows that she's a captain of sports, and he's like,
he's just
I'm
being a coach. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That's why she makes out with Coach, because his name is Coach.
Whoa, it all ties
full
together.
Sports are so important, you guys. I have always been a fan.
Love to sport.
So yeah, you know, Aris wins, like, miraculous. Terry does not complain, also miraculous. He's not like, oh, like, you know, Aris had better ropes than me or whatever.
Oh, doesn't he give him like a weird pat on the back?
Oh, no, I remember this on our second watch this morning. I noticed that, like, Aris kind of tries to give him a hug and Terry kind of pushes him away a little and, like, evades him. You know, again, like two very different styles of being the same guy. Like they're both kind of proud and they're both upset about what happened, clearly. And Aris is like, let's just hug it out and move past it. And Terry's like, no, I need to talk it through. Which, you know, props to him for like actually trying to talk to him about it. I thought this was a pretty productive conversation.
Mm-hmm.
you know, like, he's at the risk of saying something positive. No, Terry like came to him and was like, I didn't appreciate that. I wanted to air it out. I don't want us to just like hate each other for the next couple days. You know, the flight attendant comment was specific.
It's just funny.
I do understand from I used to watch The Bachelor to bond with my roommates before I was married to my only roommate for the rest of my life.
Why that?
And I remember there was a pilot one, and according to Reddit, there is like a stereotype that pilots are, you know, banging around with flight attendants all the time.
Bird dogging around.
Yeah, whatever we call it. So maybe it's that, but he did bookend it with his wife and his priest. So I also found that. I just found it so interesting the way that he worded that whole thing. But yeah, I will give him an ounce of props for like clearing the air, for being offended at the thought of being a misogynist. Like, you know, I guess he knows that misogyny is bad. So we know that about Terry now. So I guess he's not all bad.
They must teach that at the Naval Academy.
No lying, cheating, or misogyny. I'm sure that's like very true.
I'm sure that's very accurate.
Yes. And Aris had a pretty good apology. I thought it was very mature, which they followed up with this very comical banjo sting right after. It's like a shock jock on the radio, like a boy, 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 yeah, like And then, you know, like the hard cut to the women talking about like what the boys are talking about, which I also found, I feel like I've said I found it interesting. I find this whole season interesting. Yeah, I find this show interesting. Yeah, that's why I watch.
That's fair.
But I did like that because I do always think about like what they can and can't hear around camp. When Cerise said they have 50 miles of beach, I believe she said something to that effect. And I do wonder what the size of camp is, because they couldn't hear. They're like, what are they talking about? You know, like that's my Danielle. It's not as good as Alex's, I guess. But, you know.
It's no Peter Griffin.
No, I'll get there someday. I will. I'm going to practice real good. But yeah, you know, and so they have their little talk, and then, you know, Danielle is also like, so Danielle and Terry go to exile together. I guess we kind of skipped over this, but like, she's like, now
oh,
is
I
the
forgot
time
about
to
that.
Marry. You know, which, why would you align yeah. now with Terry? Why would anyone want to go to the end with Terry?
Like,
you know,
it's also, maybe the angle is like Terry's going to keep winning, but when you get to the final two, everyone's so burnt out by him that you're a shoo-in.
Like, that could be her perspective, but I think it's the wrong one because he will get the Lamina votes and the bitter Kasaya votes. You know, like, I would never want to go to the end with Terry.
Yeah, because like this is something we talked about last week. It's like, okay, what is his win equity really against a jury? And like, and what, at least what's the perception of it? And I it's so hard because he's playing so poorly. And he's so annoying. But yeah, he has the Lamina votes locked in, which I think is
won a lot of individuals.
You could argue is dangerous enough because I don't know if Danielle has votes locked in. I mean, she and Bruce are very close.
Yes.
So like that's, you know, in that configuration, she can consider that a lock. But mm-hmm. I don't think Terry has more locks than anyone else in this game.
Yeah,
even if he doesn't have, even if he doesn't, like, you know, you don't think he's the, like, going to do best at Final Tribal Council, like whatever, you know, even if you think a lot of people are going to think he's annoying. Locks, like your certainty, you take certainty where you can get it.
Exactly.
And so that it is still like, even if from the outside perspective watching this season, we're like, God, Terry played not well. I can see how in this season, you know, it's a little more complicated. But like, I think Danielle too, she's interesting because like, I mean, we like, I'm not going to say Danielle's great at this, great on this season, but like, I think she's a part of some cool moves. She's clearly mm-hmm. thinking about the game, but I think she's still like very quickly convinced of things and very quickly excited about things and like very, and she's captain of the sports. I think part of her really does want to go up against Terry and feel like she's the biggest competitor. And so like, it makes sense for Danielle, but I don't think It's tough. It's tough because I get why she wants to do it, but I don't think that's necessarily optimal.
Yeah, I think she is not super perceptive about how she's seen by the other, as evidenced by, you know, at Tribal, she says that she's grown and become more patient, and Shane just laughs and Courtney sticks her tongue out, which she does a lot at these Tribals. Like, you know, Courtney the juror is so, all the peace and love, the love signs are no more. It's all hate signs. It's all sticking her tongue out and rolling her eyes and, like, looking very betrayed in her cowboy shirts, and she's weird, so
feathery hair.
She's so angry. She's, yeah, it's so, again, it's so interesting how similar she and Shane are. You know, they kept saying that, you know, when it's like, if it's a tie, it'll be some sort of fire challenge. Even though this is a rewatch for me and I know what happens, in my heart, I was like, please just let them do like Courtney's fire dance tools. Like, whoever impresses the shit out of Jeff gets to go through. You know, that would have been great, but that's not what we got.
They should settle more stuff with a dance off.
They really should. They did that in Rock of Love a couple times, so they could do it here. But the thing that I find so interesting is, like, you know, Terry didn't give Danielle the idol, and he absolutely could have. Like, you know, I'm glad he didn't, because I love Suri, Team Suri, but he absolutely could have.
And this is and the last time didn't. It could have been in play. Yep,
and this is the last time. And, you know, I think it would have been surprising enough that, like, no one would have voted for him. They would have just assumed he's going to play his own idol.
Yeah.
He absolutely could have played it. And I don't know if it's, like, that he's risk averse. I don't think he's thinking about gameplay that much to make that decision. I think he just didn't want to. I think he's proud and he didn't want to give his idol to someone else, and he would rather set it on fire and just not use it for anything than give it to someone who could align with him. It's so silly. But, you know, that's Terry's decision.
That's life with Terry.
You have to imagine they were, production is pretty, like, pissed that Terry found the idol. So, like, great, Captain America found the idol, and then he never fucking plays it.
Never.
And I wonder if that's also because Terry, like, there's the Terry and Aris, dynamic, but there's also the really popular dynamic, especially on earlier seasons. And I think this is when you mentioned that, like, fans talk about, like, the difference between early and late Survivor. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's also very clear cut, like, I'm a guy who wants to survive in the wilderness, and I don't want to be bogged down by everyone else who's playing the game of Survivor.
Yeah.
Cowboy. So,
like, honestly, I think, yeah, Cowboy, Rupert, Coach, mm-hmm. like a lot of these people, like,
Coach, it's a little more complex.
That's a discussion for another.
He's a complicated man.
But like, there are always these guys where it's like, or especially in the earlier seasons, where it's like, yeah, I don't care about any kind of, like, that I'm on a game show. It's because to me, I'm just trying to see if I can 127 hours or Grizzly Man or any other Into the Wild. Any story about guys,
like, tough
just
it out.
About guys just going in there and crushing it. You know, just guys going in there and just winning.
I don't know if Into the Wild Man crushed it.
I, no, 127 hours, Grizzly, you know, Man, Into the Wild. They all just went out there
for
and just
a while
fucking won.
On Into the Wild, I think he thought he was crushing it. I don't know that he knew that he died.
Yeah.
But, you know.
May he rest in peace.
Yes, may he rest in peace.
This one's for you, Tim Treadwell.
But you know, I actually don't know if... I think maybe Bruce approached the season that way. I don't know that Terry did. I think Terry was just like... You know, he might have seen Tom Westman play in Palau by this point, and he might be like, oh, see, America respects, like, a good old-fashioned good guy. I'm a good guy. I could win Survivor because I'm a good guy. I'm going to go on Survivor because I'm good at stuff. Like, I think he kind of went on for that sort of validation. I don't think it was like, I'm going to be a wilderness man.
Right. But he's still not interested
in the game. You know, he can't fish.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's interested in the game. I think he's just not good at it. Like, I think he's trying to do strategies and do social games. And it just consists of walking up to people and being like, you will go with me now.
Yeah,
like,
come with me.
You know, yeah.
And you'll get sixth place.
It's like
be
a
great.
Vampire who doesn't know that he's lost his powers. Like, it's so funny to watch. Like, he doesn't, it's like Barbie. He's just like Barbie. He doesn't know why it's not working anymore.
Terry Dietz is Barbie.
Like, his feet are flat when he hits the Kasaya Beach. You know, he used to float. Now he just falls down.
A song is about Terry,
yeah, Billie Eilish.
Listen, Lucy Dacus is a Survivor fan.
Is she really?
Yeah, she watched all of the Survivors during COVID.
That's,
I think,
so nice to hear.
Lucy Dacus, come on the pod.
My favorite boy genius. I love her so much. I do want to note that Shane looks amazing in his little jury fit. He looks so adorable. He looks like a little GTA character. He looks like a little mid-90s boy.
I said he looks no less islanded up. Like he did not decide to, like, all right, I'm going to shave. I'm going to, like, pull my hair back. He's like, no, I'm going to just keep being Shane.
He's on his adorable little stocking cap and his open shirt and his posture. And yeah, and he and Courtney are giving fantastic reactions on the jury. They're great to have over there. I'm sure everyone else who's still in the game is happy to have them over there instead of on the beach.
Yes, I did not yeah. have to.
Yeah, have, I wish we had Ponderosa videos.
I do for this too. Season. Oh, that would have been marvelous to see. You know, it just would have been another shitty little apartment fight, I'm assuming. Like, that must have happened.
Or would they have been best friends? Because they, like, they didn't vote each other out.
That's true. You know what? Listen, maybe they finally realize we're not the problem. It's everyone else. It's us against the world.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde 06. But yeah, I love those two wackadoos. I love this season so much. It's just really funny that the idol is such a big part of it. And then after all that, Terry never plays
it. Never thinks to play
it. He just never, just, my God, just incapable of giving his idol to anyone else, even when it would be to his advantage. Like,
at least we get to hear Danielle say Faya a lot.
Faya. Faya started, you know?
Gotta start the Faya. Wait, can you repeat that?
This is Firestarter. Twisted Firestarter. Is that, can we clear that? Can we clear me making Prodigy noises?
He's a semi-professional. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. This one's for you, Keith Flint.
Speaking of Flint, oh my God, they have to make fire and it's a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. So, they really gagged us. This was the second cliffhanger in Survivor history.
Yeah. Okay, what was the first?
The first one was on the Pearl Islands Outcast twist.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a two-parter. That was a two-parter.
The die jerks of it all.
And they didn't do another one until, I think it was Edge of Extinction was the second. And those, it was, they'd had, it's the four, I always think it's four. It's, there's the Pearl Islands, this one, Edge of Extinction, and then 41, Erica Hourglass.
Oh, yeah.
Two-parter.
Oh, my God. Wow. You know what? I'm kind of an Edge of Extinction apologist just because I love Reem. My dear friend John.
How can you not?
My friend John, who was also in the Discord, got me a Reem cameo when I was having roommate troubles at the start of COVID and I had to move out abruptly and then I had to get emergency surgery. And Reem talked about all of that for like 10 minutes. She was like, I think she was like a $15 cameo. She gave me so much. So I love me some Reem. But yeah, cliffhanger. And as a result, we get no exit words. We just get some skulls. Scary shots of everything scary at Tribal Council. Well, we just get Halloween stuff.
Like, yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned there's no final words because Christine, I hope you don't mind. I took the opportunity to, you know, to write down the final words and they're, I didn't see you there. It's me, the talking skull, welcoming you to Tribal Council, where there are many spooky sights I can show you, like snakes. In cobwebs. Oh, look at that. It's fire. Don't get too close or you might get burned.
And then Jeff walks in and he goes, eek! And his hair stands straight up and you see his skeleton for a second.
You know, what I love about this podcast is it takes me places. Every week I start it and I know I'm going to be taken somewhere I don't expect to be taken at some point in the episode. And we hit it here, so thank you.
They should have played like haunted house music. They should have played like grim grinning ghosts.
Instead,
underneath
they play like spa music over this the relaxing scenes of
just like cobwebs, snakes, and
spirit Halloween at fucking Tribal Council.
Talk about weird choices, because it was this and then the Bruce Medivac episode where they play really bizarre music over him doing martial arts.
God, can we just do one more Terry Byrne, which is like, it's so weird. After that one challenge, he walks up to Bruce. He's like, I thought of you and your karate.
Oh, God.
Such an odd
man. I am also thinking of Bruce and his karate.
I am too, but yeah. I'm not telling him all the time. Gotta play it cool around Bruce. You can't upset his bowels. But, yeah, I don't know. Terry, I don't mean to shit on him. And I will say...
And neither does Bruce.
Speaking of Bruce.
I don't mean to be such a full-time hater. You know, I think, you know, he does come back at one point, and I think he's like a little self-aware that he was socially ridiculous and not good at it. And respect, you know, like I always say, like the best case scenario is always growth and change. And props to Terry Dietz. May he and Trish have a lovely little life together.
Nassim, I would like to give you credit. You talked about Terry probably watched Tom Westman and Palau on his trivia. In a video he posted on his Facebook congratulating Survivor reaching 500 episodes, he revealed that his favorite Survivor moment was when Tom Westman killed a shark in Palau and that it inspired him to apply.
Wow.
So he applied Tom because of Tom Westman, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I could go kill a shark too. I'm just like Tom. I'm cool.
So there we go. Cool
square jaw alpha male. Yeah, listen, like that's who he's trying to be, man. That's kind of who he is. Except Tom is so much better socially, my God. Like he's so much calmer and cooler about it. You know, Tom's never like that one challenge that destroyed the nerves in his and Ian's feet. He's not like, yes. Like when he wins, you know, I'm doing this move. I realize people won't see it on the podcast, but like go back and watch at least two, maybe three times when Terry wins an individual challenge. He pumps his fist again and again and again. Like he's starting seven lawnmowers and is like
milking an invisible
yes, yes,
cow.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Milking something. Listen, he and Bruce on that yacht, maybe something romantical would have happened. You never know.
There we go.
Enemies to lovers. Listen, a little bit. Anyways, everything's normal, and I didn't say anything weird on this, so everyone's happy.
You could have been weirder. I expected you to be weirder, honestly, Nassim. I'm a little disappointed you weren't weirder.
No one needs to know about my fan fictions.
I need the people to know that Nassim really held back on certain aspects of this discussion, and I'm proud of her.
It was the first thing I promised you when you talked to us about coming on this podcast. I'm not going to be disgusting. I think we accomplished that, right?
We stayed relatively on the rails.
Yeah, I think so.
It's good. It's always you don't want to have a podcast where you have to pre-record or you have to record an after the fact warning or a
content warning.
This one for graphic depictions.
It hasn't happened yet.
This podcast contains mention of graphic yacht scenes and sensual moments. Listener discretion is advised.
The word entering gets used several times.
God. Entering my piano now.
Oh.
Wait.
I thought something bad happened.
The only way you could have done it is if you found the brrrr noise. Please.
The RS banjo.
Unfortunately, the drums, that's the only thing I have on here right now. So, but
that's all you need.
I can go pull the banjo noise for future episodes.
You gotta have you have to have a shock jock, like a morning, like Howard Stern soundboard of just like
it's that it's like
pirate music,
the pirate music. Oh, we partook in like a substance the other night and just sat on the couch singing the pirate music to each other. Yeah, you know, you should do Pearl Islands next, Lil Dog.
Lil Dog. The Lil Dog.
The Lil Dog.
Oh, yes, I forgot to in my introduction to remind the listeners that Nassim is the person I texted during the Caroline and Kate episode when I was looking for the dog that looks like Lil from Pearl Islands, and I said, can you send me the Lil Dog? And Nassim just found the most recent Chihuahua she had sent me a picture of. Because she thought I meant a little dog.
Listen, if there's someone that anyone's going to ask for a picture of a small dog.
That's true.
It's me.
You do have a folder on your phone.
I have a folder on my phone with like 150 pictures of small dogs. But it was
you send me and you're
dog.
Like, this one? Question mark.
Little dog and Bob dog would not have gotten along.
No, arf arf.
Mr. Bob dog, woof woof.
Woof woof. I can't find Bobby anywhere. I guess he's just not a gentleman. I can't find him anywhere on LinkedIn or anything. I was like, is he still a lawyer? Because anytime there's a lawyer, I want to know what kind of law they do. Are they evil? Are they fine? Are they boring? Are they weird? And I couldn't find it. If you can find, you know, just his name is Bobby Mason, you know, like Robert Mason. There are a bunch of other Robert Mason attorneys. None of them appear to be him. And I'm dying to know, you know, I don't know. I'm a divorce attorney. I don't know that we've seen a divorce attorney on this show. And I would love to because we're all crazy. And I just think it would be fun. I know Cass is like a litigator. And I don't know. I assume there are some evil types like Big Laws and, you know, Nick Wilson. That one we know is evil.
The most evil of all.
If you would have told me a couple of years ago the most evil lawyer ever to be on Survivor was at the time a public defender, I would not have believed you.
Yeah.
But also... For a non-Eliza public defender to turn around and try to become a prosecutor, I do not trust it. I trust it when it's Eliza. I don't trust it when it's Mr. InfoWars over there. But anyways, I've said too much. They're going to kick me out of the lawyer meeting later this month. But, you know.
Oh, Bobby got to his undergrad in Massachusetts at Amherst College.
He was wearing an Amherst College shirt. Amherst is a lovely town. Emily Dickinson was from there.
Oh, he's a okay. Wait, hold on. They list his professional memberships: association, American and California Bar Associations, Black Entertainment and Sports Lawyers Associations.
Ooh, okay.
So he was at the time Black Sports Agents Association, National Association of Record Industry Professionals, and Los Angeles Music Network. So entertainment and sports, I guess.
Okay, I do not consider those to be evil law. So he's fine in my book. Great.
Cool.
Thanks, Bobby.
I'm glad we figured that out.
But yeah, oh, the Lil Dog. I love that dog. It looks so much like her. It has the air of sadness. And nothing is quite
We'll leave the discussion on the Lil Dog. Let her linger in the in the mind's eye of our listeners. I will post it again in the thread for this.
Yeah,
so people can gaze upon it. Do we have any other final thoughts before we do episode titles?
I just want to note that instead of shots of everything scary at tribal council, I wrote shits. So no exit words, just some shits. So that's my last thought before we get to titles.
Yeah, my last thoughts. I mean, my final words.
Do you
want to
do it?
Well, wait, do what?
Daniel.
Oh, should I double up on this?
Just double up on it, babe.
Hey, Aris.
I love that that's the only one you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what she sounds like.
That's all she says. Just again and again.
Hey, this is worse than the time we had to filter water through a t-shirt.
Good job.
There we go.
Hey,
yeah.
Thanks.
Hey.
Can you say careful, Shane?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can. No, you...
Careful, Shane!
I was hoping also for the Peter Griffin one, but that was really good.
Careful, Shane.
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, God. Yeah. Careful, Shane.
Okay.
Let's do episode titles. So you can each pick one. You can collectively pick one. Up to you.
Yeah, we the one I have is a dud, so we can just do it for the team.
We could do a team one, a Christine one, and then if we put the original, we're setting ourselves up to fail.
Yeah, we're setting ourselves up now. I think we should just do face off against each other.
So mine is Something Bad About Women. That's it.
That was. I was gonna do. What are you gonna do? Say something about what bad about women. So I'll let you have that one.
Thank you.
Something bad about women. Do you consent to that, Alex?
Yeah, because the only other one I have was me misspelling "wambulance" as "wambulance." on which my phone.
That is
okay. I'm torn between two because I had my first pick was the something bad about woman thing. Going back and forth, but I'm gonna go with Sorry King Terry.
Yes!
Sorry King Terry.
Oh, that's very good, Christine. Oh.
All right, so
like Bonnie
I was
Prince
going between Jill. That and I don't treat flight attendants like that. That was the one was going back.
God, what a guy.
Oh, I had
what a guy.
The only other alt I had.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even really worth it. No, it's something bad about him, but as an homage to Jean Le Carré's espionage novels like Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. It's a wife, family, friends, priest.
Oh, no, Alex, you got to put that in for consideration.
It's very good.
So, yeah, but I still think something bad about women is the...
Well, if you consent, I'll put that in for you, and we'll see which one wins.
Yeah, let's do those. Yeah.
I think that's fun. So, something bad about women. Sorry, King Terry. And I love the way Danielle says Terry.
Terry.
Yeah, Terry. But Suri's the one who says it. But Suri says it. Sorry, King Terry, and wife, family, friends, priest, and to the tune of Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Fantastic. Well, this has been as wild as always. This episode, no, this is like this podcast. I managed to just create chaos every week and a slightly different flavor of chaos, and it's beautiful. And I knew you two would bring a beautiful brand of chaos because I talk to you two a lot about Survivor. So before we close out, we do plugs. You can plug whatever you want, plug your socials, plug a cause, plug a picture of a little dog. So you guys go first. Whichever one of you wants to go first.
Alex has the real stuff to plug. So okay. I'll briefly say that I have a little food blog going called Take My Ham on Instagram. And I also want to plug the show Claim to Fame. It's a fun reality competition show. I'm not on it. I just like it. So those are my plugs. I can't plug my personal socials because they're private.
That's true.
But Alex can plug stuff.
Yeah. So hi, everyone. I'm on Instagram as Alex_MERCURI. I post stuff about guitars that I'm building, guitar parts that I'm playing. I give lessons. I do session work. Also, the rock group Pom Pom Squad that I play guitar in, we are probably, by the time you're hearing this, we are probably done with the tour. But just in case whatever time is like, we are touring with Poppy and Paris through... kind of through the South and through the Midwest from September 2nd to September 15th. So check out Pom Pom Squad's Instagram page or the artists Poppy and Paris, it's spelled with a V, for dates to any of those shows. We'd love to see you. Lucky Pig Guitars. I can build you a guitar. Hell, listen. I can build you a guitar. I can teach you how to play guitar. I can play guitar on your record. Anything that involves a guitar... Hey, Alex Mercury. So at Alex Mercury on Twitter, Alex_Mercury on Instagram, and say hello to me, and I'll say hello to you.
You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at The X-Teen Files. You can read my writing on Inside Survivor, listen to the Bitter Jurors main stuff, and we'll be coming back soon with actual Survivor content because it's September now, and Survivor will be starting very soon. You know, someone who listens to this podcast may or may not be on the season. Who knows? By the time this episode is out, the cast will be announced. So, Brandon, yes, we're very excited to have you on the season. He was one of the first supporters of Stanawatu and all around lovely person. So, very excited to talk about that season, Survivor 45 on the Bitter Jurors Network. And the Shadow Play Gaze is actually coming back. By the time you're listening to this, we finally came back and we did we haven't recorded it yet, but we will have by the time you hear this, a little one-off talking about the Ikuhara directed era of Sailor Moon. We're going to talk about three Sailor Moon episodes featuring Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune, because those characters were very instrumental in the development of our Lucianaire girl Utena. So yes, Shadowplay Gaze coming back. We'll be doing some more stuff, hopefully. And I've mentioned this before, I think, but my fiance Nicole's opera project, the Sappho project, I built a website for it. It's a song cycle I can put together. The libretto is composed of Sappho fragments, and the music was composed by Canadian composer Danica Loren. I'm not exactly sure. By the time this is out, the website is certainly out. So it's sapphoproject.com. In real life, I don't know exactly when it's going to be out, but certainly by the time this is out. So this is the messiest plugs ever, because I'm trying to figure out when things will be out. Because I designed the website for my fiancé Nicole's opera project. It's an interactive website where you can listen to the piece in any order you like. It's a really cool piece. My fiancé is really good at singing. She hit the high notes really loud. And yes, that's everything for me.
Hooray.
Yay. Thank you for the applause. Yes. So thank you again to you both. This was so lovely. I hope we will all get to hang out soon. I was supposed to be in New York last summer, but I've got COVID, so hopefully we'll be there soon, or y'all should come to Montreal. Lots of really good food here.
Oh, yeah.
Halloumi, baby.
Halloumi, yes, we'll go to Halloumi. I like to plug Halloumi on Saint Laurent. They are a really great newer restaurant in Montreal if you like halloumi and iced tea. Great little joint. So yes, we'll be back next week with the finale of Survivor Panama. We'll be doing that before we again jump back into modern Survivor with Survivor 45. So this will be a fun one to wrap up. I can't believe it's already over. And what's that episode called? The Final Showdown. Yes, we'll be back next week for The Final Showdown. Again, the messiest ending segment of all time. But thank you all for listening. Thank you, Alex and Nassim, for everything. And see ya.
Hell yeah.
Bye. Oh, so